Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the strange smell of free speech. You know what I'm talking about. This thing, it's like, you just gotta sniff it, right? Because it's strange, and you just put your nose down to the ground and you just sniff it. Because it's strange. And you can sniff that strange smell of free speech by going to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. Oh, it's badly needed. It's very badly needed. And you know something? It's still Kwanzaa. Hanukkah's over, but it's still Kwanzaa. And, yeah, fundage, you know, Kwanzaa. All right, so, in fact, this is our last show of the year. And, so it's going to be kind of a retrospective, no guest. You know, I like to have guests, but every now and then I'm just busy and I can't set things up. But first, I do want to appreciate the guests I've had on this show this year. Obviously, we got Mark Collett, who's been regular. I think this is the only week this year that we didn't have Mark Collett because of the Christmas holiday. So we didn't have Mark this week, but I think the other 51 weeks we have had him. And Cato, been very regular, usually, sometimes Tuesdays, for a while Mondays. And Jeremy, of course, the Patrick and Jeremy show has been a regular thing, completely regular. And then the other days, well, we have frequently Philbert, we have frequently Paul Stevenson, and we have frequently, on a monthly basis, originally it was once a month, Andy Hitchcock, and now it's morphed into twice a month with Andy and Mark Dankoff together. So I think that's a pretty good lineup. Did I have any special guests this year? I know in the past I had special guests a few years ago. We had Reverend Manning. That was pretty awesome. And early on, we had Eric Stryker and Andrew Anglin, Benjamin Fulford, Richard Sloan. Who else? We've had some people. We've had some good guests. And, of course, this year, we've had David Duke every now and then. In fact, he winds up being the last guest of the year because he was my guest in the show I recorded this morning. But I don't bring David on so much because you can hear David and I talk on his show all the time. So we do it like that. So we're kind of looking back on the year. And it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Well, it was mostly the worst. I don't know. But there's been some hopeful signs. Let's look back at the year 2022. So it falls, it's, honestly, this decade started of the 2020s, you know, the first year was the massive corona hoax, peppered with racial justice riots, and that sucked pretty bad. Then 2021, you still had the corona hoax morphed into, you know, the vaccine mandates and passports and, you know, the deadly vax. Everybody was being forced to take the deadly vax. And, of course, the election and throwing people in jail. And you had a completely, let's face it, illegitimate and senile president and illegitimate and completely slutty vice president. Come on. I mean, America just became a joke. That was 2021. Moving into 2022, could things get worse? Well, you know, it could be raining, nuclear fallout. So we had the whole Russia thing. So the whole Russia thing dominated this year, moving just steadily into World War III. As Dr. Duke noted today, he really misses Stephen F. Cohen, and I really miss Stephen F. Cohen. Sorry about that interruption. Okay, yes, Stephen F. Cohen. We miss him. And he passed away. Was it in 2020? I'm not exactly sure. I have picked up his... I had already purchased his book, War with Russia? And, you know, I'm going back into it. And, of course, he was warning about all of this stuff. And I may, at some point next month, I may do a show where I just read selected passages from that book. Because it was worth it. But, yeah, that has dominated this year. You know, in 2021, I think just about every day I listened to what really happened with Mike Rivera, because he was doing such an excellent job on the whole election hoax thing. And this year, at least from maybe April or so, I've been listening to Alexander Mercurius just about every day, because he does a good job with the Ukrainian war. He focuses on that. It's about 40 minutes to an hour every day. And that's how I've been following it. I wish I could have the insights and in-depth background knowledge that Stephen F. Cohen provided. I don't know who out there is capable of that. I just don't know. But at any rate, so we're doing a look back at 2022. And obviously that dominated. And, you know, if this had happened in a different year, and it could easily have happened in a different year, the war in Ukraine, this could have happened 2004 or going into 2005 when they had that whole Orange Revolution, if you recall, Orange Revolution, where the results of the 2004 election were disputed. That was the election between Yanukovych and Yushchenko. It was disputed, and people came out and they demonstrated, and Yanukovych agreed to new elections, and in the new elections, he lost, and Yushchenko came in. And, you know, that was 2004, and they're already pushing for NATO expansion into Ukraine at that time, and Ukraine was eyeing the EU and all of this. Things could have happened back then. And of course, back then, Russia was only 4 years into the Putin presidency. It was doing all right economically because, you know, Putin's actually economically very conservative, and he's very budgetarily responsible, right? Fiscally responsible. That's been a trademark of his rule. And in 2004, oil prices were high, and so Russia was rebounding and taking the economy back from the oligarchs. Things could happen then, but they didn't. Victoria Nuland really only became a force in the State Department on this matter probably like 2007, 2008, when she became the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to NATO. And, of course, she was pushing for Georgian and Ukrainian membership in NATO, and they got some sort of agreement that I don't know what if it's called candidacy or whatever. It's not called candidacy, but they got some sort of security agreement, some sort of status where Ukraine and Georgia were thinking that they were in the on-deck circle for NATO membership. And that was under, at least in part, under Victoria Nuland. Things could have happened then, and of course, with Georgia, they did happen in August of 2008. You did have the Georgian president, Mikhail Saakashvili, and he played chicken with the Russians and tried to seize territory that had been part of the Georgian Soviet Socialist Republic, but had never been ruled by independent Georgia, because the territory of South Ossetia, it was inhabited by non-Georgians, a Muslim Caucasian minority that has brethren in North Ossetia, which was part of the Russian Federation. And when Saakashvili invaded to try to take control of this territory that's nominally recognized as Georgian territory but had never been controlled by independent Georgia, the Russian army went in and they whooped them in a short little war. It was very short and it was very little. Things could have blown up then. But really, really, when could they have blown up? They could have really blown up in 2014. And that is when you had that, you could call the Orange Revolution, you could call that a CIA coup d'etat. But the Maidan Revolution, so-called Maidan Revolution of February 2014, was big time a State Department / CIA coup d'etat. And, you could see this one coming. And we don't have to go into all the details, but what if it had happened 2014 or 2008 or 2004? What would have happened? Well, Russia would have been much less able to withstand its own economy. In 2004, it was a gas station masquerading as a country, in some people's terminology. And in 2014, it was already coming under sanctions. It actually started coming under sanctions in 2008. The sanctions weren't nearly as severe, but it started coming under sanctions in 2008. And then the sanctions were increased in 2013 because of Russia passing this original law restricting homosexual propaganda aimed at children. And of course, that is a direct affront to the values that define us as a nation, which is propagandizing children with homosexuality. That is one of our key values that define us as a nation. And so already in 2013, and they were doing this because in January 2014, the Winter Olympics were going to be in Sochi, Russia. And you always think of Russia as a cold place. Sochi has palm trees. It was the weirdest place to have the Olympics in all of Russia. Why in Sochi? I'm not exactly sure. There was some sort of reason. Putin likes Sochi for whatever reason. Why did they have it in Sochi? I don't know. It was a strange place. If having the Olympics in Miami, it's not quite as warm as Miami, but it's still pretty warm. Maybe it would be like having the Olympics in Myrtle Beach or something like that, or Nag's Head. I don't know. Myrtle Beach is so cheap, though. I don't know. We don't really have good resorts. At any rate, it would be warmer than having it in Atlantic City. It would be warmer. I'm pretty sure that Sochi's warmer than Atlantic City. Anyway, so what would have happened? Well, there's two things. One is Russia would have been less able to withstand the onslaught economically, right? And of course, in these past several years, it's developed, its own armaments industry has made advances. You had the hypersonic missiles and whatnot, but I'm not a military person. But in terms of economics, it went from being a gas station masquerading as a country to a very diversified economy. And this is something that Stephen F. Cohen was pointing out, that after 2013, when the sanctions got stepped up, because they were already in place in 2008, but they got stepped up in 2013. And after 2013, there was a very conscious decision made by Putin and Medvedev and his team to do what is called import substitution. So you, instead of importing goods, you manufacture them yourself, right? As opposed to like export-led growth, this is like another strategy. Export-led growth is where you try to build a lot of things and export them. Of course, Russia has a big export sector, but its export sector is mainly energy, first and foremost, agricultural products, and then, you know, fertilizer and minerals and things like that, mining products, a lot of primary products. At any rate, so over the past 8 years or so, they've been going big time into this. Now, what would have happened, and then, of course, on the way of the sanctions against Russia got turned up in December 2016 by Obama because, you know, Putin rigged the elections for Trump. It was so stupid, but it really happened. And it wasn't just any sanctions. It was really dangerous sanctions because, you know, it expelled a lot of Russian diplomats on, was it New Year's Eve, which is a really, really, like, it's a solemn occasion in Russia. So that was an affront. But also, because Russia hacked our elections, Obama said that we were going to retaliate in kind. We were going to hack Russia. We were going to do a cyber hack of Russia at a time and place of our choosing. Now, how reckless is that? What happens if somebody, Israelis or terrorists or somebody, let's just say, or Ukrainians, if they hacked the computer system responsible for cooling Russian nuclear power plants and you had a nuclear meltdown? And Obama has said, we are going to hack you at a time and place of our choosing. And then they, and then something like this happens. Even if Obama or the United States wasn't responsible for it, well, who are you going to blame? The threat's been made. The threat's been made. We're going to do this to you at a time and place of our choosing. And then something happens. That was as reckless as you can imagine. But Obama wasn't the highest IQ person. He really isn't. He really isn't. So here's the thing. What am I getting at? What am I getting at? Well, if the war had happened 2014, if it had happened 2017, let's just say Hillary won, and if Hillary had won, very likely Victoria Nuland would have been running the State Department, because Hillary was going to have a girl power cabinet, and Victoria Nuland was widely rumored to be the next Secretary of State. All of this stuff, maneuvering Russia into the war, would have happened 4 years earlier. So if it had happened 4 years earlier, Russia would have been, A, it would have been that less prepared economically. It wouldn't have had as good of a domestic manufacturing sector, industrial sector. B, it wouldn't, like, the Russia-China alliance wouldn't have been as strong. C, China itself would have, you know, China's been growing and growing, and so China had an extra 4 years to eclipse the United States as the preeminent economic power, which it has. And so you've got that. But here's something else, and this is really what I've been trying to get at. It would have happened at a time when the Western countries, the losing countries in the war, but perhaps it wouldn't have even lost the war, but these countries would have been relatively stable. Because what's happened over these...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
And I've got a special announcement. Red Pill Politics, Republic of Texas Radio, and Republic Broadcasting have put together a live broadcast day on January 1st, 2023, all day long.
All right, on New Year's Day. I don't want you to get too hammered on New Year's Eve, because I want you to be able to get up as bright-eyed, bushy-tailed as you can, because we're going to have a very special broadcast on New Year's Day. We haven't got all of the arrangements and all the special guest interviews and all the fun quite packaged together yet, but we're well on our way. You're going to hear some great hosts here at RBN. You're going to hear some great interviews, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think this is going to be fun.
After New Year's Eve, tune in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
North Carolina bathroom, you know, high school bathroom thing. There's been so much destabilization. Had the war happened five years earlier, at the beginning of the Hillary administration, 8 years earlier, on the heels of the so-called Maidan revolution, there would have been much more prospect of, there would have perhaps in prospect of military victory. Certainly would have been much better prospect of the economic victory, which is what the, like, in 2022, that's what the strategy was. It wasn't so much the economic victory, the military victory, it was destroying using the war as a pretext to have massive sanctions on Russia that would destroy the economy and regime change Putin. That was the idea. It failed because, Putin had been preparing his economy for all those years for just this type of thing, and B, and most importantly, because China has sided with Russia, and China is now, it wasn't 10 years ago or 8 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, but now is the most important economic country in the world. It has the biggest manufacturing base. So it would be a very, very different story. If, let's just say, though, And this is what I'm getting at. If 5 years ago, did under President Hillary and Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, they had done this, and let's just say you had more or less, hey, what is the big idea? Come on. You never know with dogs these days. Anyway, what would have happened? Let's just say that we had lost. If we had lost, what would be the fallout 5 years ago before the massive destabilization? It might have been just like Iraq. We lost Iraq. We lost Afghanistan. It wasn't good, but it was the type of thing that the elite could survive. Hillary, who had voted for the war in Iraq, she could turn around in 2008 when she ran, or 2016 when she ran for president, and say, oh, well, the intelligence was bad. She could say that then. But when our society is so destabilized, and we've been hoaxed and hoaxed and hoaxed, to then, can you come out and say, well, the intelligence was bad? Who can say what the intelligence was bad? Can Adam Schiff, the head of the Intelligence Committee, say the intelligence was bad? Can Avril, who's a Jew, by the way, can Avril Haines say the intelligence was bad when she's the head of, the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence? Can she say that? And, you know, how many times can the New York Times print a correction on page 14 about a story that they had been running day after day after day on page one? How many times can they get away with it? So the point I'm getting at is, this is 2022, because this is a look back at 2022. 2022, you've got this situation now where we've got way deep into this war. And, you know, I was just turning on my computer today, and I always see headlines from Microsoft News, MSN, Microsoft Network, which is, you know, nowadays in the internet age, it's a big deal. Yahoo News is a big deal in the internet age. And, you know, I look at it, and every day it's like, what will happen to Putin when he loses the war? Putin is afraid of this. Putin is that. It is completely detached from reality. And there's no way that this is going to go anything like what the mainstream media has been indicating. I mean, Ukraine is being dismembered. It's being dismembered. It has been dismembered. It's already lost five of its... How many oblasts did it have? 20, 26 or something? 25, 26? And it's lost five already. It's probably going to lose another four to Russia. Maybe a little more than that. I don't know how many Russia would ultimately want. I think there's a limit to how much Russia wants. I don't think Russia wants more than half of Ukraine. I think it probably only wants a third of Ukraine or so. I don't think it wants Lvov. I don't think it wants Kiev, because why would it want to rule a bunch of people who are going to be antagonistic, right? I mean, how many of you listening really want to rule Puerto Rico, right? Wouldn't you rather just not have Puerto Rico? So, I mean, how many of you would want to conquer...
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Puerto Rico, right? Wouldn't you rather just not have Puerto Rico? So, I mean, how many of you would want to conquer parts of Mexico, for instance? Do you want Tijuana, right? Do you want these places? Do you want Ciudad Juarez? I don't think you do. So, it's being dismembered, and at some point, it's just going to become obvious that this was a massive lie. And, you know, they're already, it's already hard. You know, maybe they can get away with everything. I don't know. But I just think that there's, we're getting to a point, and very likely in 2023, Ukraine obviously loses the war. People are dropping dead from the coronavirus vax. People are. Hey, come on. You probably know people. I know people who have just dropped dead suddenly. They seem to be healthy, and they've dropped dead. I know a bunch of other people who seem to be healthy, and then all of a sudden they're fighting for their life in a... And I'm talking about just in the past few months. I saw somebody drop dead. I saw somebody drop dead in a gymnasium when I was playing basketball. I don't know the guy, so I can't say, you know, I knew he was old, but you usually don't see people drop dead. And you probably know of a lot of people. And so you know, how much, and if, then of course you've got all this other stuff going on that's just obvious lies, the emperor's naked kind of lies, with, men can be women if they just click their heels three times and make a wish, they can turn into a woman. It's practically like that. So I was reading a story of some guy, what state was this? I think it's, is it Washington State? And this guy murdered his two parents with a knife, murdered their pet chihuahua. The older brother got away. But, you know, the older brother is going to have to live his whole life with his mother's screams echoing in his head. And so this, why did this kid, I guess he was he 19 at the time, why did he murder his parents and his dog? Because they weren't accepting of his gender dysphoria or some tranny-related reason. And now he's in prison. But where is he in prison? Well, he's in a co-ed prison, and I think it was Washington State, under Washington State rules. If a man lives with the identity of a woman, lives as a woman for 6 months, he must be treated as a woman regardless of his physiology. And so that's where we are. We're there. We're there. We're there. White people are bad. You know, and so there's just so much going on. Everything's a hoax. It's a sandcastle. And it's a house of cards. It's going to come crashing down. How much can it withstand? Now, obviously, if you listen to the show, you know that I've been really, really excited about Ye, Kanye West. And how's that going to play out? We haven't heard much from him for the past couple of weeks. Is he in hiding? I don't know. What's going on with him? I don't know what's going on with him. Nick Fuentes is still making a show about once a week. But I very, very strongly suspect that we're going to be hearing a lot from him in 2023. And the situation is so fragile for the establishment, because they've been hoaxing and hoaxing and hoaxing. It's so fragile that something like this, something like what Kanye West is doing, it can be enough. It can be enough to bring down the whole house of cards. Okay, we're about two-thirds of the way through the show now, and I've spent a lot of time talking about Russia, and I think that's the big deal. That's the thing, that's the biggest deal of 2023. I don't see how Ukraine could survive. You know, I don't know the military stuff. I don't know the military stuff, but I don't see how it can survive another year. There's going to be a collapse. It could come any time. Maybe it'll take a while. I don't know. I don't know these things. I'm not a military person, but I do know it's inevitable. And I don't see how the hoaxers of you know, Ukraine is winning so hard, and Zelensky is a hero. I don't see how these hoaxers can survive it in this destabilized world. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right, well, looking forward to, well, looking back on 2022, what else was there? Was there anything else really worth, I mean, okay, here's some stuff. In America, and for the most part around the world, 2022 was a year where the establishment, the elites, have been backing off of the coronavirus. Now, that's not a victory exactly. It's just kind of like the end of a defeat. When I say the end of a defeat, like the defeat, we're no longer being actively defeated, but that doesn't mean we're winning anything. Because for the most part, the hoax pretty much ran its course. Would they like to continue to have us keep our kids at home and lock down? I don't even know. But they got a lot out of it. And, you know, I don't see them as being centralized. I don't see there as being like some secret orders being handed down from the shadow government. I just don't buy into that. I do think there are elites and there are agendas, and often the agendas are overlapping. And with, like with the coronavirus, I think this is actually a very good example of overlapping agendas. And so you had the pharmaceutical industry, and Jews are important in the pharmaceutical industry. They're not as dominant in the pharmaceutical industry as they are in media, where I think that's where you really, they're really, really dominant in media. They're really, really dominant in academia. They're fairly dominant in finance, but probably not as much as they are in media or academia. Because, if you really look at banking institutions, not only do you have a lot of goy, I don't know about Merrill Lynch nowadays, but Merrill Lynch was a pretty goyish investment house. Maybe Merrill Lynch isn't even that important anymore. But it used to be important. You know, you had Reagan administration officials like, what was the guy's name? Reagan. Donald Reagan, his Treasury Secretary. He had been a Merrill Lynch CEO, as I recall. They used to be a lot more important. But, you know, also you've got all these Japanese and Chinese and Turkish banks and whatever. So it's not quite as dominant, but it's important. But at any rate, you had the financial interests from the pharmaceutical industry. You also had, the surveillance, like within the elite, and especially the Jewish-dominated elite. The Jews are paranoid, and they want to keep tabs on people. In general, the Jewish power structure wants to keep tabs on the goyim. And what did you get? One of the benefits of the coronavirus was the development, and maybe you never had to do this, but if you traveled internationally and you went to other countries, this is the type of thing you'd have to do when you go into another country. If you were allowed in the first place, you'd have to download some app on your phone that would trace you, see where you've been, keep track of your whereabouts. And like in Australia and places like that, even if you weren't traveling internationally, South Korea, I think, was doing this a lot. They had these tracing apps, contact tracing. So if it turned out that you came down with coronavirus, they would be able to see who you had come in contact with, right? It's for your health. It's for your health. But, this is the infrastructure that they want, okay? So for today, it's like, oh, it's for your health, Goy. Coronavirus. If you've come into contact with somebody who had the coronavirus, you want to know about it. Well, okay. Let's just say you got somebody who is an anti-Semite, who has been meeting with Nick Fuentes, who has been meeting with David Duke. We got to do anti-Semitism contact tracing, right? This type of stuff. There were a lot of overlapping agendas, and they weren't all, strictly speaking, Jewish agendas, but there were enough Jewish agendas involved in it that you can safely say that the coronavirus hoax would not have happened if it wasn't for Jewish power. This is what I say. It's not whether or not Jewish power is sufficient for something to happen. It's whether or not it was necessary, right? Maybe the Jews couldn't have done this by themselves. Maybe Jewish power could not have, and I think it could not have pulled off the coronavirus hoax on its own. But when you added in some of these other agendas, such as the, pharmaceutical industry profits, when you add that into it, and that allies them with these Jewish interests, then you've got the critical mass for implementing these kind of policies. But 2022, looking back on 2022, United States, for the most part, most stores relieve, no longer have mask mandates. It's still around in healthcare facilities, right? You go to, go to your doctor's office. Odds are they're going to want you to wear a mask in the waiting room, which is such BS. It's such BS. And the thing is, these people in the medical industry should know better. And I don't think they're all part of some giant plot, some giant conspiracy. This is more, and this is something that Dr. Duke and I are going to be working on in 2023, this kind of hive mind, but where, or, you know, groupthink, where people can become convinced of a consensus, even when that consensus actually violates the conventional knowledge that was widespread beforehand. And, you know, the masks and the social distancing and all this stuff, it was completely violated what was known about immunology and whatnot, public health. We knew that that type of stuff wouldn't work, but yet we wound up getting hoaxed into it. And, you know, to see medical professionals wind up buying into it, well, they're not independent thinkers. You can be a good doctor and not be an independent thinker. You can be a pretty good doctor just based on doing what you're told you're supposed to be doing, what the literature says, you know, what the CDC says. You just follow their orders. Maybe you can be a pretty good doctor for a lot of things until the CDC and the medical journals start going along with the hoax. And if you're not an independent thinker, then, you know, following the authority, following professional authority, now all of a sudden you're not contributing to people's health. You're doing just the opposite. And that's without being part of a secret conspiracy. That's more of a groupthink type of thing. And that's something that, looking forward to 2023, something that Dr. Duke and I have been talking a lot about in private. We're going to try to kind of clarify these ideas and you know, how they work. Hopefully we'll make progress on that. But it was good in 2022 that we eased off on a lot of this coronavirus stuff. You know, a lot of places still have vaccine mandates, and yet the vaccine mandates are not being enforced. I think the courts have already just recently overturned, without much fanfare, but overturned the vaccine mandate for the military. Didn't that happen? I think it did. So, of course, it's too late for a lot of people. And hopefully 2023 will be the start of repercussions as it becomes clear that these mandates, these vaccines, which are causing so much harmful side effects, adverse reactions, that the people responsible for mandating people who did not need, by any stretch of the imagination, could not have benefited from the vaccines but had to take them anyway, hopefully you're going to get massive class action suits. It's the type of thing that could really overturn the system. If you started getting accountability for the coronavirus hoax and for this war in Ukraine, what else? You know, the election. I don't know. I was watching the Soviet Union very carefully. I'd gone there 3 times. And before I ever went, I'd read a book by I always considered her a French author, but she was of Georgian extraction. I guess she grew up in France, but her father was from Georgia, from Soviet Georgia, Hélène Carrière-Doncas. And she had predicted the unraveling of the Soviet Union due to demographic issues, due to the high Muslim birth rate. It didn't exactly happen because of the high Muslim birth rate, but still she came closer to, she did predict the falling apart of the Soviet Union, and it actually happened. Even if it didn't happen the way she predicted, she's the only person I'm aware of who was making such a prediction. And I went there, so when I was in the Soviet Union, I was very conscious of this type of thing. I was watching it very carefully, and I think our society, It's not as poor. I mean, the Soviet economy wasn't doing that well, but our economy has been devastated by, you know, the coronapocalypse. And the European economies are being devastated even more than ours by the war in Ukraine. But the thing is, their society, even though it was, you know, dictatorial and oppressive, ours is oppressive, but they had, in the 1980s, they were not nearly as unhinged as we are. I mean, men were men and women were women. They didn't have all this trannyism stuff. There wasn't an attack on their own majority population in the 1980s. And our societies are so much more destabilized at this point.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
And our societies are so much more destabilized at this point. I, you know, looking into 2023, I can't make predictions, but I wouldn't be surprised that 2023 could be the year that the there's going to be a reckoning, the year of the great reckoning, where the hoaxes. The hoax chickens are going to come home and roost. Maybe this is a good point to end the show and wish you all the happiest of New Year's. I hope it's going to be a good year for all of us as RBN listeners, as Americans, as humans. I hope so. And I am hopeful. Actually, I'm more hopeful than I've been for a long time. There are positive developments. There are some positive trends. There are some negative trends. But with that, Happy New Year's. And I hope, I'm trying to do a very, very fun show for you for Monday. I hope to do it. I can't guarantee it, but tune back on Monday next year for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.